I hope I got those platforms there aligned with proper military courtesy. They teach you about being squared away in the military. And I hope my alignment is right, because if it's not, Brother Elam, who was a gunny sergeant in the Marine Corps, he'll correct me and get me straightened out. And I like that about people, because I like things in order. Brother Baker, if you would take a close shot of this right here. It is a Soulwood. My daughter gave it to me one Christmas, and it says, Marines, the few and the proud. Well, if you look at it real close, it's in the shape of a cross. So today I want to talk to you about the Christian warrior. This is part number four. And my subject this morning is being suited up and battle ready. And when you get ready to go into a battle, you've got to have the right equipment. So in the military, we have weapons today, not a sword, but firepower, rifles and weapons like that. And in the spiritual battle, our weapon is the sword of the Lord, the only offensive weapon. And today I want to talk to you about putting on the whole armor as we continue this series. And you need to be suited up and battle ready at all times. Look at Ephesians 6 and 10. Paul talks about to the church, and then he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God. Put it all on that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. And he lets us know that we are in a warfare, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places. And then he begins to talk to us about strapping on this armor. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, he says, stand. And look at this, stand. How do you stand? Having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then he says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And then he says, take the helmet of salvation. And the sixth piece he talks about is the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. The apostle Paul lists six pieces of armor that the Christian warrior must have on at all times. My subject this morning, suited up and battle ready. Are you battle ready? If not, we're going to put some armor on today. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for your presence here today, for the army of God that is arising, Lord. That you said, arise and shine, your day has come, and the glory of God is risen upon thee. Thank you for that anointing, God. Thank you for a listening ear. Anointed ears to hear the word of God. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking as they were singing about Gideon. Now, Gideon lived during the period of Judges, and the nation was being attacked, and he was in hiding, trying to thresh out a little bit of wheat to feed his family. And the angel of the Lord, the incarnate Christ, appeared to him. And he talked to Gideon about what needed to be done and how to win the battle against the Midianites. And Gideon said, well, if I'm chosen, where are the miracles that our fathers talked about? Where are the miracles that we've heard about? Well, God is raising up an arm in this place, and we're seeing miracles. We're seeing God. And God spoke that to me, that I'm raising up an army. So Paul is talking about us being suited up and battle ready. Now, God wants you to know that you have a spiritual enemy, and he's called the devil, that you're in a warfare. And that the battle that you are facing, it is very real. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not a lion. He goes about as a roaring lion. You know what a roaring lion is? A roaring lion is a lion that has no teeth anymore. He's old, and all he can do is roar. And so he roars and roars and roars, trying to make people think he's bad. But the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, stripped that lion down of his power. And when you're in a jungle and the lion roars, the only sound you can hear is the sound of another lion. Everything gets quiet when the lion roars. But the lion of the tribe of Judah, he is inside of you. And that's what putting on this whole armor is all about. If angels are real, then the devil and his demon forces, they are real. There's another world beyond the natural world. Amen. There's a world that you cannot see. Amen. Unless the Holy Ghost opens up your eyes. And the devil is not in hell like some people think. He rules his kingdom from the heavens. We're in first heaven. Paul was caught up in the third heaven. But between first heaven and third heaven, there's a place called second heaven. And that's where the devil rules his kingdom. And he has principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You wonder why sometimes your prayers are not being answered. Because between you and between third heaven, where God's throne is located, there is a devil that's trying to stop you. Now, Daniel prayed 21 days, and when the angel of the Lord, the incarnate Christ, showed up, it was not the incarnate Christ, it was the messenger angel. Let me get that right. It was the messenger angel, Gabriel. He couldn't break through, so God looked over from the banisters of heaven, and he saw Gabriel wrestling with the prince of Persia, which is a type of devil, and he sees Michael, the warrior angel, and Daniel. The angel breaks through and said, Daniel, I heard your prayer the first day, but I was detained. And there's a prince over Persia, there's a prince over Wilson, North Carolina, and all the other cities in this nation and all over the world, ruling, trying to rule this world. There's a devil. If angels are real, then the devil is real. Amen. One translation says we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Another says against the rulers, world rulers of darkness. Another one says against the master spirits of this dark world. So God wants you to know that you're in a warfare, that the warfare is real and that it's out there. There's another world of darkness. And the Bible calls the devil the god of this world. He's called the wicked one, the prince of darkness. And Jesus said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And guess what? You're on his hit list. And your children are on his hit list. And your health is on his hit list. Anything and everything that's good is on his hit list, and he's coming after you. So you better get suited up and battle ready so that you can be on the offensive, taking down the strongholds of darkness and establishing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I know some of you think you're weak, but you're not. You're a lot stronger than you think you are. But if you'll get this word in your heart, praise God, you will come forth more than a conqueror. You have a supernatural enemy, and it takes supernatural weapons to defeat him. And God is raising up an army that knows how to fight. What kind of army is it, Pastor? Well, it's an army that knows who their God is. It's an army that knows who the enemy is. It's an army who knows who they are in Christ Jesus. It's an army that knows how to fight the good fight of faith. And they are suited up. And they've got on the whole armor of God because God said put it on. Hallelujah. And today we're going to strap this armor on in this service. And I want to give it to you in biblical order. And I asked the Lord, why biblical order? He said, because biblical order is important. It's important that you build your life on the solid bedrock of God's word. And when the wind blows, and when the rains descend, and when the floods come, and the winds blow and beat against your house, you'll be able to stand. Because your house, your body, your life is founded upon the word of God. Hallelujah. God is raising up an army, and they are suited up. God has provided the armor, but it's necessary that you put it on. God said put on the whole armor, and God is not going to dress you. You don't need to be some Christian that always crying like a little baby, and the pastor didn't shake my hand, the pastor didn't come to see me. No, we're not like that here. We're suited up. We know who we are, praise God. And what my job is to equip you. My job is to get you battle ready. Now, while you need help, praise God, we're going to help you, but I'm going to help you by training you to fight in this army. People hire pastors and think, well, we pay him to do that. No, I'm paid by God. My rewards are waiting over there. Hallelujah. We all got things to do and places to go, but you got to get your thinking right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if I can get your thinking straight, I can get your life straight. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number one, Bible order. Have your loins girt about with truth. Why did the Holy Ghost list that piece of armor first? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when your loins are girt about with truth, that's so you won't believe the lies of the devil. And do you know that the loins are right over the reproductive members in our body? Wonder why God put that first. Because he wants you to reproduce the Christ that's in you as he saves others because you carry the message to the world. Now, our loins are to be girt about with truth. What is truth? Well, look at John 14 and 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. See, when you have your loins girt about with truth, you've got Jesus on. Hallelujah. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus giving me power because my loins are girt about with truth. And it means that you're going to live right. You're going to live your life according to the word of God. What is truth? Truth is what God says about you. And you need to confess the truth of God's word. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord? I don't deny doctors' reports. Faith doesn't deny the facts. Faith demands a change. And I just believe God's word, and I'm a man of faith. And praise God, faith will win the victory every time. What is truth? It's confessing God's word. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me and gave himself for me. Thanks be unto God, which giveth me the victory through Jesus Christ my Lord. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Thy word is truth. That's who truth is. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I confess that God is a good God. I confess that he's my heavenly Father. I confess that he loves me with an everlasting love. And how long will his love last? Look at this. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody go and praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is love, and when you feel love, you feel God. Some people think God's a great big God with a baseball bat trying to kick them out of the kingdom. Oh, no, my friends. He's a loving God. He's a delivering God. He's a blessing God. He's a healing God. He's a merciful God. And God is a good God, and he's full of grace and of truth. That word grace just sort of flies by us because we get real religious. But what is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. Hallelujah. I didn't earn it. He just put it to my account. I didn't earn any of it, but he qualified me. He qualified you so we could be born again of God's Spirit. He qualified us so we could come forth more than a conqueror in Jesus' mighty name. You're qualified. God qualified you. God said, I'm going to do something miraculous. If the gods of this world, the devil had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He put him on a cross, and God put the sins of the whole world upon him. They come out of that little upper room full of God, full of fire. The devil thought he had it made. At least Jesus is not on the planet anymore. All of a sudden, 120 people come out of that little upper room, the army of God. They look like Jesus. They walk like Jesus. They talk like Jesus. They live like Jesus. Doing signs and wonders, miracles and wonderful things in Jesus' name. Go on and praise him. That's the army God is raising up. First of all, your loins have to be girded about with truth. Second, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is putting on the breastplate of righteousness? Again, it's putting on Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, had made him, Jesus, to be made sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You may not understand righteousness, but God does. His holiness, his sanctification, his purity, his cleanness. And God let your sins be thrust upon the sacrificial lamb so he could make you righteous in Christ Jesus. It's not what you did. It's what Jesus did. The whole armor is talking about Jesus. Now, some preachers, they preach and say, well, salvation is the most important thing. Don't you know that? Well, God said, put on all the armor. He said, put on the whole armor because it's all important. Some people read the Bible like they're reading a menu in a restaurant. They say, I'll take the roast beef, but hold the gravy. They say, give me some cream potatoes, but I don't want any broccoli. Some people say, I'll take a little John 3:16 because I don't want to die and go to hell. But I don't want any of that Holy Ghost power when speaking in tongues that's found over there in Acts chapter 2. But church, we need the whole armor. We need complete truth from the Word of God. His Word is true. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the biblical Pentecostal pattern, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. God will give you your battle plan when you start praying in the Spirit. You'll pray things you don't even understand. But God understands. God knows where you are. God knows who you are. And God said, I'm going to get a word to you. Woo! Aren't you glad? God will get a word. Go on, praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't need the witness of the Holy Ghost only, but we need the power of the Holy Ghost with supernatural signs and wonders. We need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You got it. Hallelujah. We're in a warfare, and we need to be fully clad and battle ready at all times. Put on the whole armor because it's all important. The breastplate of righteousness. Do you know what that means? It means sanctification. It means you live right. You live a clean life, a pure life, a holy life. It means you do right. You don't steal anymore. You don't lie anymore. You don't cheat anymore. And you pay your honest debts. You don't commit adultery. Amen. You don't gamble anymore. You don't cuss anymore. You don't drink whiskey anymore. You don't go to the clubs anymore. You put away all the unclean habits. You put away anything that defiles this body because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and God wants you to be clad with the whole armor from head to toe. He wants you living this thing so your heart won't condemn you. So when you face the enemy and you face the battles of life, you'll have confidence. The Bible says, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Get the junk out of your life. The Holy Ghost will sanctify you wholly. He'll wash you. Glory to God. And then you got to sanctify yourself. We're sanctified by the blood. We're sanctified by the word. We're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And then he said, you sanctify yourself. That means you don't pick up that thing anymore. You just lay it down. Say, that doesn't belong to me. I'm a new creature in Christ. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. You don't do those things because there's been a change. There's been a change in this life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. There's been a change in this life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. The things I used to do, I don't do no more since the Lord laid his hands on me. The place I used to go, I don't go no more since the Lord laid his hands on me. God did it. I didn't do it. I didn't go looking him. He came looking me, and he saved me, and he sanctified me, and he delivered me, and he filled me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You put on the breastplate of righteousness, and now you love to go to church, and you pay your tithe. And you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself because they were created in God's image. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. We have power in this church. You don't need to smoke. You don't need to drink. You don't need to gamble. You don't need to be bound by pornography. You don't need to lie, steal, cheat. God will deliver you. It's called sanctification, a second definite work of grace. Once you get saved, you got to throw off the old man. Praise God. He says, put off the old man. Put him off with his deceitful lust. And he says, and I want you to put on the new man. He's created in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. Let me go on. Number three. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Look at Romans 1:16. Paul said, if I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. They had to preach it to the Jews because Jesus came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, woo, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Aren't you glad he gave you power to become something? He didn't want you living like you used to live, dragging all those chains around. He said, I'm going to give you power to become something. If you'll follow me, Jesus said, I'll make you. I'll make you into what I purpose for your life. I'll make your dreams come true. I'll make things happen. I'm a miracle working God. And if you'll follow me, praise God, he said, I will bless your life. Feet shod with the gospel of peace. That means you're already always ready to preach Jesus and to testify to somebody about his amazing grace. That's faith in action. And you're on the move. And you're telling others about Jesus. You got a testimony. And your testimony is not just that he saves and he sanctifies and he delivers and he heals. You got a testimony because people see it in your light. So let your light so shine before men that they may see the Father's good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you're doing the work of God. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming. There's a prince of darkness. The night is coming when no man can work. This thing's about to wind up, praise God, winding down. But God's getting his church ready for the end time harvest. The devil says, wait, you don't need to be saved today. That's plenty of time. He's a liar. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Thank God for the gospel. And your feet need to be shod with the gospel to speed you on to tell others about the goodness of God and the saving power of God's grace. I tell you, when you get saved, it will shock you how good life starts to look. When you really get saved and you get a double dose of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. It will radically change your thinking forever. Can I get a witness out there? Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Amen. Number four, take the shield of faith. He said, above all, take the shield of faith that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, what is the shield of faith? Well, if you want to find that out, you got to look at Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Taking the shield of faith is taking the faith of Jesus. You no longer struggle for faith, because we live by the faith of the Son of God. Becky Watson, I'm so glad God sent me a living example today of the shield of faith. Hallelujah. She used to work with me in the purchasing department at Firestone, known as Bridgestone now. And one day, I purposed, because she wanted to learn it, to teach her Galatians 2:20. Look how long that thing is. And she got the first part of the verse, but she had a hard time with the last part. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that's as far as she could go. But all day long, I would come out of my office, and her desk was over there where she was working, and I would look at her and say, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'd go back into my office. I'd say, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'd go out of my office again to do something else that was on my agenda. And I would say, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I would go back into my office and I would say, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And guess what? At the end of the day, she could quote Galatians 2:20, all of it. And everybody goes home, but I had to go in my office and do some work and get a little caught up, because I had a demanding schedule. Seems like that's demanding everywhere I go. No matter what I'm doing, I have a demanding schedule. And I walked back into my office, and the Holy Ghost said, whose faith do you have? I said, well, I've got the faith that was given to me. God has given to every man the measure of faith. I've got that. And I've added to my faith, because I've studied the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Ghost said, whose faith do you have? I said, I got the faith God gave me, and I've added to it by studying the Word of God. The Holy Ghost came back and said, whose faith do you have? I told him one more time. Then he asked me, he said, what have you been saying all day? I said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, my, a little bright light went on inside of me. I said, praise God. I've got the faith of Jesus. I'm not looking for faith. I've got the faith of the Master. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have the faith of Jesus. You just need to know that. So when the devil fires his darts at you, you have the shield of faith to quench and extinguish every one of them. When he shoots his darts of sickness at you, hold up the shield of faith. You know, at the first symptom of a cold, many people say, I think I'm catching a cold. You've heard that. Well, don't catch it. Let it go. Send it back to the devil where it came from. Amen. When he fires his darts of temptation at you, if you will hold up the shield of faith, it will hit the shield and not you. I'm a combat man. I can hear those rockets in my mind coming in and out. Whoosho, 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 whoosho. That's the way the devil fires at you. When he fires those darts, take the shield of faith and say, he'll try to blindside you and take you out. Hold up the shield of faith. See, the reason that most people get hit by the devil is because they've let the shield of faith down. God does not want his people on a hospital bed, sick and helpless. He wants us full of health, full of strength, full of vitality, full of faith. He wants us out on the battlefield, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He wants us out preaching the everlasting gospel, delivering the captives, and leading others into victory. Hallelujah. Setting the captive free. I thought about when I was in combat in Vietnam in the United States Marine Corps. They wanted us on the battlefield. They didn't want us in the rear. They'd say, get up. We got an operation plan. We're going out on patrol. And that'd give you a plan exactly how you're going to execute that patrol. And when you went on big operations, they would tell you exactly how you're going to execute that operation plan. The naval gunfire, the air support that was going to be there, the other troops that were going to be helping you, where the 155s were and the mortar men and the machine gunners. Everything was done in a specific order because we were in a battle and our life was on the line. I am telling you, you are in a battle today. And not only is your life on the line, but your little children's life on the line. You better clean up, suit up, and get ready to fight. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God. We had superior firepower. The enemy knew that. And they knew they could not stand toe-to-toe with us and fight. So they used guerrilla warfare. And they had booby traps. And many times it would kill somebody. But most of the time they just wounded us and sent somebody to a hospital. They knew that if they could wound the United States troops, they could keep them off the battlefield. And that's how the devil fights. He knows he cannot stand against the blood. He knows he cannot stand against the name of Jesus. He knows he cannot stand against the fire of the Holy Ghost. All he wants to do is wound us so he can send us to the rear where we are helpless. Amen. But the weapons of our warfare, they're not natural. They are mighty through God. We got some firepower. We got some strong weapons. And we can pull down the devil's imaginations and his high thoughts. And we can cast the devil out and we can cast him down because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Go on and praise God. So take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Number five, the helmet of salvation. Put on over your head, over your carnal mind, the helmet of salvation. Putting on the helmet of salvation is putting on Jesus. All this psalm is putting on Jesus. Look at Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in none other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. If you're not saved, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. You must be saved. If you don't, you will die, you will perish, and you will end up in the enemy's camp in hell for an eternity. He doesn't just take you and put you in a POW compound and somebody's going to come get you. No, Dante, the Italian poet, he wrote a poem. He said, over the gates of hell, there's a phrase that says, those that enter this place shall never come out again. And that's the way hell is. And it's real, and it's for eternity. So take the helmet of salvation. Amen. Jesus said, you must be born again. And I'll add a little bit to that. If you don't like how you were born the first time, try being born again. I'm sure you'll like that. Some people think they can shake the preacher's hand. That will make them a Christian. Others think all they have to do is go join some church. Some people think if I just go sit in church, that'll make me a Christian. Well, you can sit in church all your life and say, I'm an automobile, I'm an automobile, I'm an automobile. But that won't make you an automobile. And you can sit in church and sit in church and sit in church and hear sermon after sermon after sermon, and you can walk out still bound by the devil. You must be born again, and when you put on that helmet, praise God, you're to put on the breastplate, get sanctified holy, so you can go out and be a witness for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Putting on the helmet is putting on Jesus. Now, every piece of the armor of God, it is defensive, except for one. The sword of the Spirit, number six. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, it's an offensive weapon. That is made in the shape of a cross. I like that. Everything we have in our armor comes from what Jesus did on the cross. Take a real close shot of that, Brother Baker. That is the sword. It's a cross. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You got to know what God did when he sent his Son to the cross. You got to know what the cross means. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is the Word. Hallelujah. Now, the devil, he has no offensive weapon against the soul of the Spirit, the Word of God. The Word of God will paralyze the devil and his entire host. John said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Amen. So in the fourth chapter of Matthew, you will find where Jesus is led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And he overcame the devil, not as God, but as a man, as a human being. Amen. With the Word of God. Back in the Garden of Eden, the first man, Adam, he failed. And when he failed body, soul, and spirit. The serpent said, eat that apple, body. He said, it will make you wise, soul, your mental capacities. It will make you like God, spirit. Adam fell, body, soul, and spirit. But Jesus overcame the devil with the Word of God. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the devil said, turn that stone into bread, body. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil said, jump down from the pinnacle. He'll give his angels charge over you. You'll be in the Jerusalem newspaper. Soul, pride, trying to get him lifted up. Amen. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil came back a third time and he said, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. I told you he's the God of this world, a God of darkness. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shall thou serve. There's a whole lot more than shouting and coming to church. You not only got to be born again, you not only need to worship God, you need to serve him with the life that you live. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. The Bible said, and the devil left him for a season. Adam fell, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus overcame the devil, body, soul, and spirit, showing us that we can overcome the devil when we got the whole armor on. Because when you put the whole armor on, you're putting on Jesus from head to toe. Hallelujah. Now, I've just given you the whole armor of God in biblical order. But I like to check myself. I like to make sure I am fully clad before I go out into battle. And like any good warrior, I check myself. I check my equipment, and I check it head to toe. Number one, the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I belong to Jesus. Number two, I've got on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness. My sins are under the blood. Number three, my loins are girt about with truth. Jesus is the truth. His word is in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth because I'm confessing truth. Number four, my feet are shod with the gospel of peace. I'm ready to preach Jesus. I'm ready to tell others about my Savior. Number five, the shield of faith. I have the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Number six, the sword of the Spirit. I'm full of the Word of God, and I am battle ready at all times. Can I get a witness out there? Hallelujah. Now, I looked at that, and I found six pieces of armor. But do you know, seven is God's perfect number. So when you put on the armor, you have to go into your prayer closet. And you have to pray so you can get the mind of Christ. In the military, we call it a battle plan. And here's how you get the mind of Christ. Here's how you get your battle plan. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to the church. He sent the Holy Ghost to the church to empower the church. And when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, according to the Pentecostal pattern, you will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Some churches don't like that. Well, they don't like tongues. Well, if you want to blame anybody for tongues, blame Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost, and he sent it to the church. And they came out of the upper room praying in the Holy Ghost. Look at this. We need the baptism. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Why do you need to be able to pray in tongues? Why do you need to put on everything and then be filled with the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, he speaketh mysteries. Hallelujah. Now, the devil has English-speaking demons. The devil has French-speaking demons. The devil has German-speaking demons. The devil has Spanish-speaking demons. He has Russian-speaking demons. But the devil has not got any Holy Ghost-speaking demons. Woo! So when you pray in tongues, you got a hotline, and you just bypass the devil, and your prayers go right on up to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. We do have a new and a better covenant, by the way. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. Look at Romans 8:26. Paul said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth thy infirmities. For we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth the mind of the Spirit. For he maketh intercession for them according to the will of God. Not your will, but God will give you his battle plan. Amen. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, amen. He will give you the mind of Christ, because we're not wrestling flesh and blood. So suit up. And having done all to stand, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Give me a few minutes of your time. I want to tell you two stories. It'll help you. Some of you say, I'm just weak. I'm just don't have all of that in me. Well, praise God. That's why God sent you here, to get you strong. My little daughter, Jessica, when she was 5 years old, thereabouts, she was sick. 4 years old. Teresa just said four. It's four. She was 4 years old. She come down one day, and I was sitting there reading my Bible. She said, Daddy, I'm sick. Will you pray for me? I prayed for her. God healed her. She come down the next night where I was reading my Bible, and she said, Daddy, can I borrow your Bible? I said, what you want my Bible, sweetheart? She said, Daddy, Mommy's sick. Mommy's got the same thing I had last night. Can I borrow your Bible? I'm sitting in my chair. I hand this little four-year-old child my Bible. The way our house is situated, she walks out of the living room. She steps up on a platform, turns to go up the stairs, and disappears out of my sight. And I said, glory to God. That's how you raise a child right there. A four-year-old child got the sword of the Spirit in her hand. And the devil sees her coming. He doesn't see a four-year-old child. He sees the whole armor of God. She suited up. She went up there, prayed for her mother. God healed her. She brought me my Bible back. Let me tell you another story. This is about a vision that a preacher saw. In this vision, it was a dark, desolate place. And he could see this figure walking through this dark place. And it was getting closer and closer and closer to him. And he realized that's the devil. And he's coming after me. And when he got real close to him, Jesus stepped. Come here, Brother Philip. Jesus stepped in front of this preacher. Hallelujah. Stand right there, brother. And all of a sudden, Jesus starts backing up. And back on up, brother. And the man said, I know that can't be Jesus, because Jesus won't back up to anything. Jesus don't back down. He kept on backing up, backing up, backing up. And he came right inside of that man. And all of a sudden, out of this man's mouth came these words, Satan, bow! And the devil bowed. Jesus is inside of you. Thank you, brother. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you may not realize just how much is in you. But if you'll take this message, and if you'll suit up, and if you'll live like God's word declares you should live, let me tell you something. You will come forth more than a conqueror. Because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And God is raising up an army, and he wants his army fully clad with the whole armor of God. So they look like Jesus from head to toe. So they act like Jesus. So they talk like Jesus. so they perform miracles in Jesus' mighty name. Let us stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1202. That means you need to come to this altar. And you need to check yourself like I did. Come on, let's come to the altar. If you're not saved, come down and I'll help you get saved. But every Christian in here, you need to check yourself. Make sure you have on the helmet of salvation. Make sure you have the breastplate of righteousness, that you're living according to the Word of God. Make sure that your loins are girt about with truth, that you spend time in the Word of God, that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that you're taking the Word of God to other people, that you love souls and you're trying to help people get born again, that you have the helmet of salvation, glory to God, the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And when he fires his arrows at you, you got the faith of the Son of God. And you say, I know I'm in a battle, but let me tell you something. I'm putting out that dart. I'm going to confess the Word of God. I'm who God said I am. I have what God said I have. I can do what God said I can do. I've got the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And devil, this is an offensive weapon. You don't have any defense against the Word, because Jesus is the Word, and he stripped you down. And I'm fully clad from head to toe, and I've got the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to come and pray till you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need to clean up your life, clean up everything. Say, God, I'm consecrated, I'm holy, and I'm a candidate for the baptism, so I can pray in the Holy Ghost and I can get my battle plan. I can get the mind of Christ, and I pray the mysteries of God, because the Holy Ghost is praying through me. Hallelujah. I'm suited up. I'm battle ready. And look out, devil.